Let's go, let's go. Down the middle of the field, he's got through. 35, 30. Want to get no punt. Logan intercepted. Touchdown, Giants.
Is the phone number you want to get in, 201-939-4513. Also, we'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, hashtag Giants Chat. Make sure you include that, and we will share your tweets on the show. A lot to get to in regard to draft, mock drafts. 3.0 is out. We're going to go, what? I know.
March 30th.
Yeah.
1 month.
1 month.
Okay. Just saying.
But you're going to be here. Let me ask you this, because you're from this area. Have you ever attended a draft when it was in New York City?
No, because my assignment for the last 33 years has been to cover the Giants.
Your assignment.
Yes, my assignment has been to cover the Giants. So I have always been at Giants home base. I have never been at the draft proper.
Right.
And that's okay, because look, there's enough to do here. but I will tell you, for what it's worth, the move to Chicago. Not sitting too well with me. This is the capital right here. This is New York. This is where the home base is for the NFL. And I still think that when you talk about the NFL draft being one of the national holidays, at least it is for me, like the Super Bowl and New Year's Day, et cetera, I do believe that it belongs in the nation's capital, and that is New York City. But be that as it may.
But, I mean, this is a problem with the location. I mean, this wasn't like, right?
Right. Yeah, they had problems because of Radio City with the Rockettes and the holiday shows. And if they wanted to put it back to this particular date at the end of April, they were going to have a venue issue. Well, you know what? Find a venue, okay? Find a venue. I'll build you a dome if I have to. Just don't take it away. Anyway. Whatever.
I mean, it's not going away. I do. I'm excited.
Because you're going to be there.
I am. I'm going to be heading out to Chicago.
So your opinion doesn't count.
I'm pretty excited about having to Chicago in a while. It's an excuse to get to Chicago.
I love that city.
Especially the weather is not going to be so bad.
Can we trade? Please.
I'm gonna attend the NFL PA rookie party on Wednesday night. I'm going to be covering that. Pretty excited about that. Kind of, meet some of the young, exciting rookies that are coming into the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be at the draft on Thursday night. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be exciting. It's different. What are the there are a few other cities, right, that are in
three or four that made a bid, and
right.
Chicago won.
Yeah, but just for this year. It's going to be in another city next year.
Oh, did they already announce that, or did they say it was coming back to New York? I don't know.
I believe so. I believe that it's going to start kind of shuffling around a little bit.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, the other leagues have done that before. And, hey, it is what it is. Look, I'm stuck up. I'm from here, and I believe that this is where it all happens. What do you want from me?
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, taking your calls, 201-939-4513. Also, hashtag Giants Chat for all things in regard to Twitter. And as I said, as Paul actually said, we've got a month still remaining until the NFL draft. And once we reach there, I'm sure it'll be mock draft 7.0. But right now, we're at 3.0. And so I thought, with some of the changes and in some of the new information that's out there, I thought we would kind of go down and talk about where a lot of these players are expected to go. You ready to rock and roll?
Let's go.
Also, again, like I said, please call in. We'll take your calls. We're talking all things NFL draft today here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. So number one goes to the Bucs and Jameis Winston. I mean, there's no... Let me ask you this. Will you be shocked if Jameis Winston doesn't go number one overall to the Bucs? Do you think that maybe they're second-guessing that because of the off-the-field issues?
No, it seems pretty clear from everything that's been coming out of his camp and coming out of the NFL offices, because he visited with the commissioner, I guess it was the other day, and also out of Tampa Bay, that they seem pretty satisfied with all the character issues. And look, I'm not going to get into that because I'm not a private investigator. I can't tell you what's good and what's bad and what's real and what's not. If it were me, I wouldn't take him. But, hey.
Now, would you not take him because of what you haven't, what you've seen on film, that maybe you don't feel he's worth a number one overall pick as a quarterback in the NFL? Or would you not take him because you're concerned about his off-the-field issues?
Both.
Both?
Both.
Okay. So if you had the number one, I'm putting Paul DeTino.
Derek Carr is the best quarterback prospect to come out of the 2014 and or 2015 draft. Derek Carr, who's with the Raiders. He technically is the best of the quarterbacks that I've seen in the last 2 years coming out of college.
Okay.
Carr's better than Winston.
Okay, but with that being said, I'm going to put you on the Big Blue Kickoff hot seat here.
Yes.
If you were the Bucs, you were the Bucs general manager, you had the deciding factor in regard to who the Bucs were going to draft, number one overall.
Trade out.
Who would you take?
I would. I'd trade out.
You would trade out?
I would absolutely trade out, because there are enough of people who seem to want to get up there that high that I think you could hold them for a king's ransom, and you could probably get three picks back.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So number two is the Tennessee Titans. If they do draft, a lot of people think they'll take Leonard Williams, USC defensive lineman. But there's some talk out there that maybe they're in the market for a more veteran quarterback, somebody like, I don't know, Philip Rivers, maybe Sam Bradford, who the Philadelphia Eagles just acquired. Maybe Jay Cutler from the Chicago Bears, because he doesn't want to compete for his job this year in Chicago. Whatever the case may be, maybe offering a veteran quarterback to Tennessee in exchange for swapping a first-round pick. What do you do if you're Tennessee, Paul? Do you take Leonard Williams? Do you take a veteran quarterback? Do you take Marcus Mariota? What do you do?
I would probably take Williams. I do think he is, to me, he'd be number one on my board. Let me just tell you that. Maybe you were kind of asking me that when you were talking about Winston. But I would trade out if I were the Bucs, and if I then wound up with the number one pick, I would take the defensive end. I think he's that good. I think he...
Compare his talents. Who does he compare to?
Wow.
So for folks who maybe don't watch USC football because you're not up at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
really?
I mean, let's face
really,
it.
Like you're not?
Oh, I am.
Of course you are.
But I'm just saying, let's face it, people on the East Coast, they don't really stay up until 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the Pac-12. Just don't.
Let's see. Who would I pick in the NFL right now who I would compare him to? He's got a good motor. He's strong. He plays the run well. He gets after the passer. I mean, I'm not going to go to a Pro Bowl level and immediately say a number one pick is going to be that good right away. But
is he more like a Sue kind of guy? Is he more of a Watt kind of guy?
Well, he's more of a Watt kind of guy for me.
Okay.
You know, but I hate to use that name because that name is right now that's
royalty.
Business. That's royalty.
Right.
That's
right.
You know, it's like what people say to me all the time, and they've been telling me this for how many years, folks? He's the next LT. He reminds me of LT. Come on, there's only one. There will only ever be one. Period. So.
All right, number three, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, of course, their head coach loves defense. A lot of analysts, mock drafts, have Dante Fowler, Jr., outside linebacker from Florida.
Yeah, that's a good pick for them.
Going, you see that happening?
That could happen, yeah. That's a good pick for them. They need help there. He's a terrific player, tremendous skills, playmaker. You know, yeah, that's a good pick for them. I have no problem with that one.
Also, since they have Blake Bortles as their quarterback, if Marcus Mariota is still on the board after Tennessee picks, somebody could be knocking on the door of the Jacksonville Jaguars to try to – if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, would you trade down?
I would probably go for the linebacker there because I think he's an impact player, and I think they could really use that. They've got some decent players there. I don't think they're that far away from being a pretty competitive team. So I probably would take the backer. Here's what I will say, though, and it's interesting you bring up the thought about who's going to want to move up to get who. Between the quarterbacks, between the two stud wide receivers, who we all believe are going to be really good in this league, and then the tweener pass rushers, I think there's going to be more activity on the phones and maybe actually trades that follow through in the top 10 this year, Anita, than we have seen in a long, long time.
I'm with you. I think Thursday night's going to be absolutely insane. I think it's going to be really, really, really exciting.
So in any event, I would not make that deal there, but yes, I think there's going to be a lot of action and a lot of phones ringing and throughout the top 10 here. So you bring up a good point, though, in terms of teams wanting to move up. There's going to be a bunch of them.
All right, so at number four is the Oakland Raiders, and a pretty interesting debate here. As we know, Oakland Raiders, you talked about Derek Carr, in your opinion, being one of the best young quarterbacks that have come out the past 2 years. But he needs some weapons to throw to. He can't throw and, of course, catch his own passes. So Kevin White, this mock draft, and this is on NFL.com, mind you. They have Kevin White going number four to the Oakland Raiders, but there's the debate about Amari Cooper. I'm going to put you on the hot seat yet again because I enjoy to do it so much.
Yeah, you do.
If you're the Oakland Raiders, Paul Dottino, what do you do? Do you like what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've read about Kevin White? Would you take him over Amari Cooper?
Well, not being at the combine where White passed Cooper on many boards, it's hard for me to go that way. I know what I saw and the cut-ups that I continue to look at. Cooper blows my mind. He really does. In short, I would say I would go with Cooper if I was going to go for the receiver. But here's what I want to add to you, folks, is that I was taught a long time ago. Again, look, I've been around this organization, so I'm kind of built on the foundation of the way they go. You don't necessarily tick down a player because of what he does in the combine. You may give him a little bit of a tick up, but you don't downgrade a player simply because of what the combine told you. So I'm not going to downgrade Cooper, even if you want to bring White up a little bit. I'm not going to push him ahead of Cooper just because of this really terrific combine he had. I'm going to stick with the way I felt about Cooper all season long. And Anita, how could you not be impressed with the highlights that this kid put on tape his entire season with Bama? So I'd probably go Cooper there, but I could see them certainly taking a receiver because Carr needs help.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, breaking down this year's NFL draft and all the mock drafts that are out, trying to anticipate which teams are going to do what, which teams are going to draft which college player. We're going to stop at five for right now. The Washington Redskins do pick at five and take some calls, but we'll continue as we make our way through. I'd like for us to do at least the top 10 today.
We should do 10.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Vic calling in from Florida. Vic, you're first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live today.
Hi, Vic.
Vic, line one.
Vic is gone.
Is his mic up?
Mary Bateman.
Vic, I'm sorry. Vic, I'm sorry. Can you, if you can start again, our audio wasn't up.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can, Vic. Welcome.
Okay, welcome. Anyway, I have a question and a statement. First of all, the statement is that, yes, Paul, you're right. There will never be another LT. Even though Derek Thomas was pretty close to him in Kansas City.
Oh, no. Ricky Jackson.
Ricky Jackson was
probably the closest to LT, and even he wasn't that close.
Yeah, you're right. Now, my question is, I've been looking at these mock drafts quite a bit, which I really don't trust too much. But anyway, Mike Mayock had the Giants pick number 9 with Malcolm Brown. Who is this guy? I never even heard of him.
Malcolm Brown? I haven't heard anybody talk to him about going to the Giants. Where that would come from?
Mike Mayock had Malcolm Brown going to the Giants, number 9.
I'm absolutely blown away by that. I don't.
He's a defensive tackle from some place.
Too early. I'm
Vic, thank you for your phone call. Is that too early?
Yeah. I don't he's not even in the conversation. I don't know. I honestly, are you sure Mayock said that? I'm gonna look for it now.
Yeah, pull up
Malcolm
pull up,
Brown.
No, just
Mayock.
Pull up Mayock's
Mayock. First round, yeah, first round guy all day long. For first round, fine, but not 9. He's not a 9. Oh, this is an interview with him about him.
No, just why don't you Google
He had Mayock 20th pick with the Lions at 23 being another team that's tied to him. Yeah, he's not even in the vicinity of 9 to me.
I know, but do this. Google
okay.
Mayock mock draft.
Okay.
4.0. And
Mayock,
I think
Mayock mock draft 4.0.
All right. Let's continue with the calls and of course some of the tweets out there. This is from Gruen Ben. I don't think the Bucks fan base would be happy if they trade the first pick when they've been starving for a quarterback. Agree or disagree with that, Paul?
Again, what's the price? And if you can get somebody to back up the truck and give you a ton of picks, they could certainly use them. I mean, come on. This team is not close now. Okay? They're not close. They could definitely use another first rounder, maybe next year, a number two or a three this year. If you could get a boatload of picks, I think they have to consider it. Because, look, you know what's going to happen? You take your quarterback. First of all, I don't think Winston's that good anyway. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I just don't. I don't think he's a franchise QB. And he's going to get himself killed in the year or two that he's going to learn to try to become what an NFL starter is supposed to be anyway. So, What good is it?
You're not. Where would you rank the Tampa Bay Bucks offensive line?
I don't like it. Adequate at best. I don't like it.
Okay. I know they spent a ton of money last year in free agency on defensive players.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. They got to catch up now addressing the whole offensive side of the ball. And you don't start with the quarterback, especially if he's not a franchise guy. Now, Mayock mock draft here is a video. That's not helping us at all. And I just Googled that.
So this is a tweet from DJ Bobby Fingaz. Unbelievable. This is one of those years where teams need a quarterback. Do you feel teams are going to reach?
I mean,
is this the best year now with Winston and Marcus coming out? Is this a good year to be a Tennessee Titans? Having the number two. Is this a good year to be, a Jacksonville Jaguar up there, possibly somebody knocking on their door for the trade?
Well, that's the thing. I think it's a good year to be high in the draft because you're going to be able to trade one of those premier guys for a boatload of picks if you want to get out. You see, I think the draft is top-heavy, Anita. I don't know how many folks that would agree with me after what you talked about at the Combine, but I think there are some very, very high blue-chip premier guys in the first half of this draft. And then I see, depending upon the position, a lot of drop-off in rounds 2, 3, and 4. You know, there are always going to be some positions that are strong. I understand that, okay? But at some of the premier positions, you've got that top echelon, folks, and then you got this big drop after that. So you're in a position where if you're in the top 10 and you think that you can combine a whole bunch of picks at a deal, you got to think about it. I mean, it just makes sense. Field those calls and see what you think you might be able to get. Because if you're a team up there in the top 5, top 6, in a lot of cases, you're not that good anyway.
This is from Big Blue Beckham. He's saying it's not Mayock's draft. It's Charlie Davis's mock draft. So put in Charlie Davis mock draft 3.0 and check it out. Thank you, Big Blue Beckham. Appreciate it. Here's a curveball for you, Paul. What do the Giants do if Marcus Mariota is still available at 9?
Oh, I'm trading out in a heartbeat. I mean, let's just burn up those Verizon phone lines because I am moving, baby. Absolutely, positively.
What do you think you could get for him?
Well, again, how far do you want to go down? That's the key. See, I'm going to let you know a little secret here. I was going to do this until we got closer to the draft.
Uh-oh.
But yes, I have figured out Giants trade partners and where they should go and how far they should go and how far they shouldn't go.
This is your own personal opinion, though.
Yes.
Let's preface.
My personal opinion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I get deep into this stuff.
Yeah.
I've basically clustered half of the draft so far for Giants picks in the first four rounds in terms of offense. I'm still working on my defense till I get my name clusters together. As I look at the Giants right now, I don't think they should do any deals lower than 13, period. If they're going to move down, 4 spots is my max. I'm not going further than that.
Why?
All right, a couple of reasons why. First of all, well, you asked.
No, that's the point of the show. You're like, you know, you're like frustrated that I asked. That's the whole point that you're in today, buddy.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. All right, here's the thing. Remember what I said to you before about there being some real primo guys up top, and then there's a little bit of a drop-off? Well, for example, if you're the Giants and you're looking at guys who are first-grade offensive linemen, there's only one guy greater than the top 10, and that would be Scherf. Okay? He's a top 10 guy. Again, we're all talking about my opinion based on what I know, people I've talked to, things I've seen. Scherf is your only top 10 offensive lineman in this draft. Okay? After that, you got to go to 15 to get to Leo Collins. Okay? He could be a top 15 guy.
Is that your number two?
He's my second offensive lineman on the board.
Okay.
Okay? Pete's my third offensive lineman on the board. He's probably going to go top 20. So now, if you're the Giants and you still want to have the ability to keep an offensive lineman in play, and again, I'm saying that I believe Scherf is a top 10 overall pick anyway, so there's value meeting need there. You can't go below 14 because if you look at the draft, and you have your mock draft up here, look at the teams. When you start at 14, offensive line. You got three in a row that are
right,
desperate for an offensive lineman.
Okay, let's share the teams. Talking about the Miami Dolphins, San Francisco 49ers, who, by the way, that entire team is just retired.
Yes.
So
they need a lot of help.
They need some defensive help.
They do, too.
And the Houston Texans.
Right.
So Paul's referring to those three teams at 14, 15, and 16 who he feels will – more than likely, there'll be a run at offensive lineman at that point.
Exactly. So, now, I do think the Vikes may consider a lineman, okay, but, and there's a chance the Rams might too, but you're not going to get that from the Browns or the Saints, okay? The Browns are probably going to look to trade up to get one of those receivers. They may even trade up to go for a quarterback. I think they're the perfect trade partner, to be perfectly frank with you. They're going to be itching to get up to 9 to trade with the Giants to go for either Mariota, or they're going to want Cooper or White if one of those receivers is available. So I could see the Browns being a logical trading partner for the Giants. I also think the Saints at 13, another logical trading partner because Drew Brees needs targets. Okay, he doesn't have enough right now.
And he just lost Jimmy Graham, of course, to the Seattle Seahawks in that trade that went down.
So if Kevin White...
And Jimmy Graham was his number one most targeted player that he played with offensively. Keep in mind, Brandon Cooks was up there. Mm-hmm. And Drew Brees spreads the wealth pretty well. But Jimmy Graham was his go-to guy.
And I believe that the Saints still want to ride whatever good years Brees has left to try to get back into it. So they need to get him a weapon. So what I'm telling you is if White or Cooper are available at 9, either one of those guys, I could see the Saints wanting to come up from 14, calling the Giants and saying, look, we got to get this guy for Drew Brees. What do you want to do? So I could see the Browns or the Saints being good trading partners for the Giants, and that's as far as I'm going. I am not going any further than that because now I get myself caught in a quandary to where value doesn't necessarily meet need because need would wind up pushing guys up. For example, Collins is still a top 15 to me, but I'm not drafting Pete at 9. I'm not drafting Pete at 14. I think that's a reach. I don't think he's that talented that he belongs that high on the value board. So that's why I would not go below 14.
201-939-4513.
You asked for it, didn't you?
No, it's great. Hey, listen, I'm learning.
I spend hours upon hours.
I'm getting paid to learn.
Sleepless nights doing this stuff.
By sitting next to you for an hour. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Let's head back out to our calls, and we'll continue with our mock draft that we've been going through. We're at 5 right now with the Washington Redskins. We'll get back to that in a hot second. Let's go to Sam, line 4, calling in from D.C. Sam, welcome.
Hey, Denise. Hey, Paul. Love the show. And just wanted to say and call back again because I took a little bit of heat on Friday when I just merely speculated that it may be in the Giants' interest to actually trade the pick, as Paul just mentioned. Especially now that there's speculation that Atlanta, who picks before us, may be interested in an offensive lineman, as in Scherf. I.e., they already have two stud wide receivers on their roster, and therefore I don't think they're looking for a third one. I don't think that's pretty much what they're saying is, man, if we had one more wide receiver, we would have made the Super Bowl last year. So, you know, I know Shakes called after me, and Shakes, I love you, buddy. He lives right above me in Baltimore, but he said, hey, if you have a guy like Amari Cooper on the board, I mean, you don't think, you just grab that phone and you dial him up and you draft him. And I tend to disagree with that, especially with the prospects for that are at nine after that. As Paul said, you could probably get the same value later on if you trade with a team like Cleveland.
Here's what I'll say to you. If I'm the Falcons, I'm looking to balance out that offense with one of the backs, and quite honestly, I think one of the backs at that point is too high. I think you could get a really good one second or third round, but I got to look at that defense. I mean, come on. Have you seen the Falcons play defense the last couple of years? You know, you got some studs in that front seven that you could take if you're the Falcons at eight. Why would you take, you know, the offensive linemen there? They are just, I mean, their defense is just bad. They need help.
Exactly, and especially they play the 3-4, right, Paul?
Yeah.
So they probably would be more interested in one of those tweeners than the Giants are.
Well, they just changed coaching down in Atlanta, though, so I'm not sure where they're going with that. I think they'll probably stay 3-4.
Okay, but, you know, I know a lot of Giants fans are worried about Cruz and his comeback, and you know, should we go for a high-octane wide receiver? And, I mean, I'm looking at the specialty players, and I mean, I think this draft is deep on specialty players, too. I mean, you got a guy like Doral, who's been compared to Calvin Johnson, and he's the fifth guy on the list for wide receivers. You got another guy, if you go down from the U, who reminds me a little bit of Manningham type of speed.
You had to go there.
hey, I had to give some love to Danita.
Hey, understand something. My dad played at the U. I was born in married housing at the University of Miami.
I get it.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
But Philip Dorsett, I mean, for a second round, third round guy, if we really need a receiver, which personally I don't, but right. I think if we really need a receiver, right, I think we could pull the trigger on a guy like Philip Dorsett, has pretty decent speed, is very good playing any within the slot or outside. So I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Would you pull the trigger on Cooper? Or would you guys tend more to, hey, if Sheriff is gone, and this is merely speculation,
yes,
would you guys be more inclined to trade it? And love the show, guys. I'll take your responses off air.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I jotted some names down.
Of course you did.
Just scribbled them out this morning when I knew I was coming down to do the show with you. I got one for you. Okay, I got one for you. Kenny Beal, Nebraska. Fourth round, that's my guy if the Giants decide they're going to go for a receiver. Not on the first day, not on the second day, third day.
Okay, well, elaborate a little bit more. Who do you compare this guy to?
Okay.
What is it about his ability, his skills that, you know, tickles your fancy? Why is this your guy?
Scribble down my notes. Fifth-year pro, ran a fourth.
I can't read any of that.
It's okay. It's okay.
Really?
It's okay.
Can we zoom in?
I did this an hour before the show because
okay.
I knew you were going to ask me.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Fifth-year college player. He had a redshirt year. Okay? He can play the slot. Ran a 4.37 in the 40. 6'1", 197. Blocks well for the run. Pays attention to detail. Runs good routes. He's reliable. Did very good in the three-cone drill, which is the more important of the drills at the combine. When you're talking about route runners,
right.
Very, very important.
Right.
And if we're talking about the possibility of Cruz not being Cruz, well, guess what? This guy plays slot. He can handle a slot and handle it really, really well. And he's just about Cruz's size, too. Now, what I wrote down to myself was, by the way, his nickname is Afro Thunder. You got to love that in New York, right? Off the line.
Does he have a big throw?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
What I wrote to myself was, off the line, his technique needs work. And he also needs to build up his strength a little bit because I'm a little bit concerned about against some press coverage if corners try to beat him up. But I got lots of things here. Blocks, detail, reliable routes, three-cone route. I jotted this down this morning because this is a guy who I've got my eye on as a third-day sleeper, fourth round, Kenny Beal, Nebraska. Think he'd be a terrific fit. He also returns kickoffs, by the way.
B-E-I-L.
B-E-A-L.
B-E-A-L.
Kenny Beal, Nebraska.
Kenny Beal, Nebraska. All right. We're all over it, right?
By the way.
Big Blue Nation, we're all over
by
it.
By the way, my fourth rounder last year,
uh-huh.
He's here.
Okay.
That running back from Boston College.
Okay. Andre Williams.
Yes.
201-939-4513. We're going to get to the calls in a hot second. I just want to go through some more tweets. Paul Dottino and I breaking down mock drafts. Some are at 3.0. Some are at 4.0. Real quick, do you want to share that you did find the draft where...
Yeah. Charles Davis has Brown, Malcolm Brown, going to the Giants at 9. See, he's a very athletic defensive tackle. He's all over the place. Don't get me wrong, a terrific prospect. I just don't think that I'm taking
That's
him
reaching.
There at 9.
You're reaching.
I think it is because, for me, especially if I'm the Giants, you want to talk about a fit for the Giants. We've talked about how the Giants have athletic linemen. They needed the plugger. Well, they signed Kendrick Ellis from the Jets to be that first and second down plugger at defensive tackle. To me, either he's got to be a dominating plugger there who is just suffocating, like a Sue, for example, okay, or you got to go for your pass-rushing defensive end at that point. I don't think the athletic defensive tackle at 9, to me, is the best value, and I don't think he's a good fit for the Giants there. But he's got him there. God bless him. I just don't see it.
Okay. And again, Big Blue Beckham, thank you so much for that link and letting us know that it was Charles Davis who did
Excellent.
That. Here we go. This is from Jim 51978 wants to know, if we talk about trading down, aren't we saying that the Giants don't really want to pick the best player available regardless of position?
Oh, by the way, he's right. It is Bell. I read it wrong.
Okay.
I jotted it down this morning. Bell.
It's Bell.
Yes, Kenny
okay.
Bell.
Kenny Bell, not Beal.
Thank you, Steph Curry. I'm reading it here, and I'm thinking to myself, it is Bell. It's B-E-L-L.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you jot stuff down an hour before the show.
So, you know, one thing that we talk about a lot here on Big Blue Kickoff Live is that, you know, the philosophy of the Giants, best player available, and Jim 51978 has a good point. He says, well, if we're sitting here, we're talking about the Giants trading down, then doesn't that kind of counter what the philosophy is in regard to drafting best player available?
Well, here's the thing. If you believe in your cluster, okay, that everybody's kind of even, and you're only going to move down 2, 3, 4 spots, and your cluster has 5 or 6 guys in it, and they're all on the same value, and you don't think necessarily that you're going to fill a need with that and match it up, there's nothing wrong with going down a couple of spots. See, my take on this, Anita, is you field the phone calls. You don't necessarily have to make a deal, but you field the phone calls because there will be people who are going to want those tweeners or that receiver or that quarterback. You got to take the calls.
Also, can't you do this? For example, you could have a player that you feel is your in with your staff and your scouting department. You feel that this is the best player available, but you might feel that player that you feel is the best player available still might be available maybe 2 or 3 picks down.
Sure.
So then, even though you're trading down. You're trading down, but you still feel confident that you're going to get the best player that you feel is available in your war room on your draft board, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I know we want to get to the calls. I got a great Giant story for you. You're going to love this one because it involves somebody we work with, Carl Banks.
Okay.
This is a great inside story about Carl Banks when he came out in the draft. Okay? Banks is coming out of Michigan State. He's a strong side linebacker. And basically, he shows that he can do a number of things extremely well. He can be dominant against the run, holds the point of attack, okay, tracks guys down across the line of scrimmage extremely well. He hits, he wraps up, he does everything you want a linebacker to do, except at Michigan State, he didn't cover. He never went back into coverage. They strictly used him up at the line, and he would attack the line all the time. He never went back into coverage.
Right.
So now the Giants have their eyes on him, and they're saying, we think we want this guy, but you know what? We can't give him a coverage grade because we haven't seen him do it before. So what happens? It was either the pro day or the combine. I'm not sure what. We'd have to ask Carl about this. And he's asked to do coverage drills, and he's got to backpedal and do coverage drills. He trips over himself. Can't even do the drills properly. Falls apart, fails the drills, the cover drills, miserably.
Have you had this discussion with him?
I have not. This is something that I'm kind of giving you guys because it's so old. I mean,
okay.
I'm not blowing any secrets out of the water. So here's what happens.
No, but I probably, at some point in time, I mean, we've been working with him now for 5 years, going on 6 years. I probably would have turned to him and said, hey, man, what happened to you that pro day?
Whatever.
Well, you couldn't cover?
Nah.
You know, I'd give him a hard time.
So Michigan State knew that, so they never put him in coverage, and so he was inexperienced at it, and so in his workout, he flubbed the coverage drills. So now the Giants, who have this terrific first-round grade on him, because he does everything else extremely well, they go to Coach Parcells, and they say, Coach, what do you think, Bill? Bill says, no problem. I want him, take him. I'm not going to use him in coverage. Simple as that.
Right.
So now, see, Carl Banks' value to the Giants is much higher because they know how they're going to use him, and they've got Harry Carson. They've got Lawrence Taylor. They've got Brad Van Pelt. They got all these other guys. Okay. Well, actually, Pelt was on his way out. But the point is, Byron Hunt and Andy Hedden and all these other guys, they had so many other guys on their team that were going to do that thing that Banks could not do well. So they said, okay, fine. It's all right if he can't do it that well. He kicks butt in every other aspect of the game. So what do they do? They draft him in the first round. They bring him here, and Bill says, very simple, Carl. Attack the line of scrimmage. We're going to blitz you some. We're going to have you trailing down the line of scrimmage after running plays on the backside. We're going to flip-flop you with Lawrence Taylor a lot of times just to keep people off balance. And to camouflage your trouble covering, we're going to have you beat the living heck out of tight ends at the line of scrimmage so that they don't get a good release, so that the coverage problems aren't really a big deal for us. So Carl Banks became one of the most physical, dominant, strong side linebackers who would literally give tight ends black and blues off the line of scrimmage, because that's how the Giants decided they would use him and camouflage the deficiency in his game. So there's a great story for you, folks. That has probably never come out anywhere, but it's a good one, and I thought you would enjoy it.
I loved it.
And
I feel more in the know now. Well, I can give Carl a hard time that he can't cover.
I really let myself in for this one.
Yeah, you did.
But the point is, it's relevant because when you're looking at players in the draft and you're saying, what do they do well and what maybe they don't do well, it doesn't necessarily mean he's not a first-round pick.
Right.
The Giants had Carl Banks. They said, oh, he's a top-10 guy. This guy's really, really great.
It's how that player is going to fit your system. It's how that player is going to – how the defensive coordinator is going to utilize that player, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now I know you were not covering the Giants when Banks was playing here, but Carl Banks hardly ever went into coverage, because he would beat that tight end up off the line and wouldn't let him get his release. And you know what? By the time that he got out there into the route, LT was killing the quarterback, so it didn't matter.
Hey, this is from G68 Charlie. Wants to say happy birthday to Jonathan Hankins. Today is Jonathan Hankins' birthday, so just want to give a shout-out.
Big Hank.
Let's continue with our calls.
They're not giving him any cake, are they? He's big enough.
201. I don't even think he's here. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to Russell calling in from Fort Knox. Wants to talk about the draft. Russ, you're up.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I was listening last week about the certain picks that's going on. I'm going to say this again. The Giants will not get Amari Cooper. Let me tell you the reason why. Salary cap reason. Listen, you already signed a wide receiver for $17 million. You already signed Victor Cruz for $50-something million. You got to pay for the Odell Beckham Jr. I know you got Ruben Randall. Like, come on, that's a lot of money for wide receivers. The draft of Amari Cooper, that's another big contract. So it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. It's likely going to be an O-line or a safety. They're showing you, if you look at the roster, you see it. We're lacking O-line safety. They saying, it's on Facebook. We're talking about all this Amari Cooper, White. Nah. 17, you just gave Harris $17 million. If you was going to get a wide receiver, why would you give Harris $17 million? It's not going to happen.
Russell, thank you for the phone call. Paul, I'll throw this back your way. And I think Russell does make an interesting point in that, you know, you do have a lot of money in that position as a whole, as a core. How big of a role does that play in regard to positions and in wanting to draft players?
You know, we talked before about which positions may be stronger than others. I think, Anita, that if the Giants really wanted to go get another receiver who could be useful for them, they can get one down in the third or fourth round. I don't think there's an impetus for them to grab one in the first. Now, I understand Cooper's a very special player. I have already touted him, and everybody else has too. You don't need me to tell you that. He's going to be really, really good. But I just, for what, again, how is the player going to be used? And in the Giants system, I don't care if you draft Amari Cooper. He's not number one. Beckham's the number one guy now. And Cruz is going to be 1A, hopefully, if he comes back healthy and is what he is. But Beckham right now is your most spectacular big play threat. And I'm saying, well, Cooper, great. I love this man's talent, but where's the fit? Where's the fit? You know, a team that doesn't have, hey, right now, Drew Brees has got to be just like on his hands and knees saying, please get me White or Cooper, please, I need help. The Giants don't need to say that.
Let's go to Steve on line 3 calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it. I have a couple quick comments real quick, and then I had a couple questions, and I'll be glad to listen to your response off the air if it's all good. First of all, just kind of piggybacking off the last caller, I'm really, you know, I can understand about the need not being there as far as, you know, picking up a Cooper. But if he is there, it's not going to be a money issue. This guy will still be under a rookie contract. So
right.
To sit there and act like it's money is just – and
well,
then to talk
well,
about
what
safety
saying?
In the first round. He was talking about a safety in the first round. I mean, what safety are we going to get in the first round?
All right, let me tell you something. I disagree with him there. There is no safety that's worth a top 10 pick in this draft, period. In fact, I characteristically do not like drafting first-round safeties, period. But there's certainly not one worth a top 10 value in this particular draft. And you're right. As far as the receivers, obviously the guy comes in on a rookie contract. I get what the guy's saying. But what he's also saying is over in a couple of years, you're going to have to wind up paying Beckham. And
well,
that's going
to
cost a lot of money.
For a lot of fans.
And Cruz will be on. Cruz will still be on the team, hopefully, and he'll be costing them a lot of money at that point. So I see what he's saying. That's not totally a far-fetched avenue to talk about. But in reality, the reason you would not draft a Cooper if you don't is because it's not a fit right here at that value spot. His value is almost diminished by taking him there.
I understand what you're saying, Paul, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, there's still a question mark with Cruz's health, too. So I don't really think it's a need at this point either. I just wanted to kind of make the point.
That's
it's
cool.
Really not about the money at this point. It's about whether it's a need. So that would kind of go into my next thing, really. I really didn't want to kind of touch on the draft as of yet because I really had I wanted to address what I thought was a more profound comment by you, particularly, Paul. I can't believe you're sitting here saying that you don't consider Winston to be a franchise quarterback.
No, he's
now,
not.
We know our quarterback are not franchise to actually at least play a year, but he's a top prospect on everybody's book. Most people say he's been a top prospect in the last 10 years. He's one of the top prospects. So I kind of disagree with your assessment on him at all. I understand he had some off-the-field issues, but his play speaks for itself, and he's good behind, you know, on the trap board as well. So I'm really not sure, you know, how you came to that assessment on Winston because – I think he's just as good as prospect as we've seen in the last 10 years. You know,
okay.
Feel free to comment on that, and then I'll have a quick one.
That's
quick
fine.
Question.
Real quick, let me ask you. What'd you think about Ryan Leaf when the entire world thought he'd be a great first overall selection? I'll be honest, I didn't like him. And what happened?
Well, I didn't, you know, be honest with you, Paul.
What
I
happened?
Really wasn't following what Ryan Leaf at that point. So I don't know, but I don't really think there's a Ryan Leaf.
Look, I could be wrong, and if I am, that's fine. God bless. I've got no problem with that. My point to you is this. Just because 98% of the world thinks this guy is going to be outstanding, how many number one overall picks have been busts over the years? It does happen. It's not automatic.
Absolutely.
And I happen to be in the minority on this, and that's okay. I just – and quite frankly, here's my other problem. And Anita mentioned this to me, and again, I said both reasons. As a quarterback, I don't think he's a top-notch franchise guy, but I also think the off-the-field stuff, when you're talking about salary caps, okay, and the way things are now, You make a mistake with that number one overall pick, with the kind of money you have to give him, even as a rookie, and the guarantees you have to give him, you are paying a huge price. And with a guy who's already got off the field checkered issues against him, you cannot afford that coming back
hey,
to haunt
Paul,
you.
Let me.
I totally understand what you're saying. I'm just wanting to put one little thing into the equation. What I think Tampa may be thinking, I could be wrong, but seeing as how he's from Florida State, it's always going to come down to money, too. And I think this guy's going to put some butts in the seats. He's going to sell a lot, too. So they're thinking about the money he's going to generate when they measure the risk. I respect all the risks you're saying off the field because it's obvious. But I think he's a perfect fit for Tampa, personally. Speaking, go ahead, Anita. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's okay. Hey, keep in mind, I mean, I talked about this with John the other day. Bleacher Report, Jason Cole's reporting that the NFL is actually happy that Jameis Winston wants to stay away from the NFL draft. Reports are he's not going to attend it. He's going to watch the draft with his family in Alabama because there's going to be protesters there outside of the auditorium in Chicago. And with all that's happened with Ray Rice and all these other players and domestic abuse and whatnot, the NFLs want to kind of tame that down a little bit. So they're happy. They're thrilled that Jameis doesn't want to attend the draft.
Wow.
So I'm just
living his dream.
I'm throwing that out there to say, if I'm the Bucs and here the NFL commissioner, again, Bleacher Report is reporting this, you know, it's just there's a lot of red flags. And I'm going to go one step further in regard to Jameis Winston. I did attend the combine in Indianapolis. I spoke to a lot of scouts, and they said what everybody so likes about him, is so insane about him, is his work studies. The fact that he has been studying defenses, he's been collecting notes against defenses since Pop Warner. His work, his mental awareness is so advanced from any other quarterback that's coming out in college football, because he knows defenses, he reads defenses, he can audible. That is the big thing about him. He's slow. He's not a fast quarterback. They're comparing him to like a Ben Roethlisberger in regards to his pocket presence, which isn't a bad thing, I'll tell you that. But, you know, to say that this is an Andrew Luck, can't miss, number
nah.
one. He's not.
I guess this is where
I'm going with this. If he had Andrew Luck ability, I wouldn't care about any of the off-field issues. I wouldn't even think twice about it. But since he's not that, a lot of people feel he's the best quarterback coming out. But is he number one overall material? And you have to weigh in what he brings to the table as a quarterback, his development, and the concern of the off-the-field issues. To me, he's not a number one. Again, it's my opinion. It's Paul's opinion. I do believe he'll go first round. I do believe he'll go top five. But number one overall, I wouldn't do it.
I'm going to make one more quick comment and then question. I'll listen up to air, guys. Well, you know, Tom McShay and the other people have been the top prospect the last 10 years. But with that said, I wanted one quick question for you, Paul, is I want to know if Randy Gregory did not have the issues with his drug test, if he failed, I know, let me just finish.
Go ahead.
I'm going to get off.
Go ahead.
Okay, I want to know, would you consider him drafting him at 9, even though it's a little bit light in the weight, considering we don't have JPP long-term?
How do I feel about tweeners? Tell me.
I know, Paul, let me ask one more question, because I know y'all about to put me off here. I have one more question about Ali Muff, and I heard he worked out for us. What possible scenario do you see us picking him up in? What round? And that's all I've got.
Who did? What was the second guy you just said?
Sure.
Who's the second
Ali
guy?
Ali Marpet.
Oh, the kid from Hobart.
Yeah.
Yeah, offensive lineman.
What scenario? How do you see us acquiring him? And I just want to say one last thing. If we do make a trade at 9, I think it will be for a player, not for another draft pick. At least that's what I'm hoping. And I listen to all you guys, you know, comments off there. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. My problem with Gregory isn't just the drug issue. It's that he's a tweener who has not done an awful lot. In fact, in college, didn't do any coverage stuff. And at 235, and I don't care if he goes up to 240, he's going to be an outside linebacker for me. That's a problem. And again, it goes into what I just told you about the bank story. The Giants could not give him a grade in coverage because he didn't do it. Well, Gregory didn't do it in college either. So now, what are you going to play him at? You're going to play him as an outside linebacker? And do you have the luxury of saying, we're going to camouflage him, and our defense is so great, we don't have to put him in coverage?
All right, I'm going to throw this out to you.
I think you can.
Terrell Suggs, Baltimore Ravens, he's a tweener.
Yeah, but how do they use him? He's in 3-4, primarily.
Right.
This is a 4-3.
Okay. So it's not so much that you're anti-tweeners. I mean, because let's face it, Terrell Suggs is one of the best defensive players in the NFL. So to you, it's more of a system.
Oh, the system is huge.
Okay. So if Spags had a different system, then you'd be all about the tweeners.
Well, if we were running the old Belichick 3-4 with guys like Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks, I would feel a little bit differently. No question.
All right. Just want to clear that up.
But we're dealing with the reality of a 4-3 base.
I understand that. But I just want to confirm that.
Okay.
Really quick, I do want to go.
No. One more thing.
Oh, okay.
He asked about Marpet. Isn't that funny? I had him scratched on my sheet, too.
Oh.
Allie Marpet from Hobart. What I wrote about him, 6'4", 307, left tackle at the D3 level, projects to guard or center. Terrific athlete. You got a couple of problems with him. Now, when I watched him on tape, what I saw was this. Lack of power, okay? He's got the size and the frame where he could put some on. I agree with that. The question becomes, how much athleticism will he lose when he does that? He's certainly not going to be a left tackle in the NFL. He could be a guard, could be a center. But there's certainly a lack of power there that he must add to play at this level. And then on top of that, he played against D3 competition. It is extremely hard, and I don't care how many years you've been doing this, to project when the guy's playing against those D3 people and say, well, now he's going to be stepping all the way up to the NFL. What is he going to do when he goes that high in terms of a step up of competition? That's hard. I had a personnel guy tell me 20 years ago, Paul, if a guy's playing at either 1AA or D2 or D3, he better be more than a man among boys. He better absolutely destroy everybody on that field for me to be able to take a look at him and project him into the NFL, because there's that much of a jump. And if he can't destroy the people at his level, then chances are he may not be able to make that bigger jump.
All right, let's complete this mock draft, because this was our goal today.
I know, I'm sorry.
And we'll continue with the calls. 201-939-4513. So we stopped at number 5, which is the Washington Redskins, and they're predicting this mock draft, again on NFL.com, is predicting the Washington Redskins to take Vic Beasley. I love this kid.
Yeah.
From Clemson, outside linebacker. Now, what's interesting here is Marcus Mariota is supposed to meet with Gruden and in Washington. We're not breaking any news here that Gruden and RG3 haven't been on the same page since he arrived there. He did say that it's RG3's job to lose. So it's not like they're not in the market for a quarterback. They're not sold on the one that they have.
Understand.
This
one could really go either way. And remember now, again, Arakpo is gone. He went to the Titans. Okay.
What has Arakpo done
in the last couple of
years?
Get hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But they could use
make great Geico commercials.
Yeah.
Is it Geico? What's the one with the caveman?
Yeah, that's them.
Is it Geico? Okay.
That's them. You know, they're talking about Beasley here. I could see them taking a front 7 guy on D, but I also could see them being a potential quarterback team. That one to me, look, folks, I'm not going to tell you something that you don't already know. The Washington Redskins organization has been a mess for a long time. And quite honestly, I never know what to think about where they're going, because their front office is rather discombobulated.
All right. At number 6 is the Jets. Again, a team possibly interested in a quarterback. Geno Smith right now, it's his job to lose from what we understand out of Jets camp. But, you know, they did bring in Fitzgerald. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
So he'll compete. I think right now my money would be on Ryan Fitzpatrick over Geno Smith to win the battle. But they might be interested in a quarterback. They've already spent a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. But at number 6, Shane Ray, Missouri defensive end.
See, now, and Davis has them going for Beasley.
Well, that's if Beasley drops from
right.
5.
Right, because he's got Gregory going to the Redskins. Again, taking a guy who he thinks is going to be a linebacker with them.
Regardless, defensive pick for 5 and 6 with Washington in the Jets.
Yeah, yeah. You know, here's the thing about the Jets. If I'm the Jets, and didn't they talk to Mariota? Isn't he one of the teams supposedly connected with the Jets?
Yes.
Okay. If I were the Jets, I wouldn't go quarterback because, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think any of the quarterbacks, Mariota, Winston, you name them, I don't think they come in and immediately make a dramatic impact on my team. So what I would probably do is look to fortify some other area around the club, and if you believe it's going to be defense and you want to help your front seven, fine. My point is this. They've enhanced their secondary. Now, if they can enhance that front seven, they could really, really keep themselves in a lot of games. And Fitzpatrick can manage a game. I'm not a big fan. I think he's in the bottom third of the league for sure. But he can manage a game well enough to where you worry about getting your franchise quarterback next year if you have to. You know, I know nobody's going to want to hear this, but sometimes, you know, like they say, punt on fourth and 15. Sometimes you got to do that. I'm not going to quarterback here.
Number seven, Trey Waynes going to the Chicago Bears, Michigan State corner.
Ooh, he's a good player.
Yeah?
He's a good player. I like him, and he's the only corner in my mind that has any chance of being in the top 20 in this draft. In fact, secret, I think he could be in the Giants cluster.
Really?
I think he could be in their cluster, and I would think about it. I would think about it.
And what would you do? What would you do with it? Because you've got
here's the problem.
DRC and you've got Prince.
Well, now, if you're the Giants, who's your third right
can
now?
You,
Thurman's
can you,
gone.
Can you do what the NFL did with Roll? Can you turn a corner into a safety?
No. If I take him, he's playing corner for me because, you know, nowadays.
I know he is, but I'm saying can you turn DRC into a safety?
Oh, no. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. If I were to take him, what I would do is he would be my third corner in my sub package. Because right now, Thurman's in Philadelphia, so that's out of the question. McBride is my third corner. He's coming back off of injury.
But do you really want to take a corner in the top 10 and you're going to make him your third corner?
Well, that's what he starts out as. That's what he starts out as. I'm telling you, I think the value could be there for him. I'm not saying I'm taking him, but I think the value could be there, and for that reason, he probably would be in my conversation.
Okay. At number eight, now this is where it really gets interesting. At number eight, in this mock draft, they have Atlanta taking Brandon Scherff. That's your guy. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just destroy your day? That's your guy. Iowa guard. That's your guy. So do you think that there's a – if that's the case, do you think if the Giants are worried that Atlanta's going to take him, do you think they trade up?
You know,
I'm going to put you – again, this is like the fifth time I'm putting P-Dot on the hot seat today.
Oh.
If you're the Giants and you feel that the Atlanta Falcons might take Brandon Scherff with the number eight pick, is he worthy of a trade-up in your opinion?
What's the price? What do you want? A four? You want a three? What do you want? For one spot? To move one spot?
I don't know. I'm not an executive. I just host sports talk radio and television shows.
Here's my deal.
Yes.
Scherff is a top 10 value. The Giants clearly have a need there. The need matches the value. That does not always happen in this league. You are thrilled when the need matches the value. This is a match. I really, really want him bad, and I think he'd be a great fit for them. And I don't think the Falcons are taking him. I think they're bluffing. I'll be honest with you. If that phone call's made, I think they're bluffing because I think they certainly have other needs. So he's going with Gurley. Davis is going with Gurley, the running back.
Okay.
Again, I don't know that I'd go running back there if I'm them, but
they don't have one really.
No, they don't. But there's a lot of good running backs that they could get in the second round. I think the Falcons their defense is a mess. They can get an impact player on defense here. Why don't they do that?
And then at nine, Andres Pete from Stanford. That's who this mock draft. That's who they have the Giants. Okay. But you said you don't feel that he's a top 10.
I don't think so.
And then we're stopping at 10. At number 10 is the Rams, and it looks like they're going after Amari Cooper.
Yeah, and you know what?
But
they'd
again,
be thrilled
to
get him.
And this is a conversation that we've had. You know, is Amari Cooper or Kevin White still going to be on the board at nine? If they are, do the Giants take them? Do they trade? I mean, that's what's going to make this draft so fun.
Well, here's what's funny.
Right?
If you go back to that 1 second, if the Rams want Cooper at 10, okay, if they really, really want him, although I think there's a chance they look offensive line also, but I do think they really want Cooper, So if you're the Giants, you move down that one spot, get an extra pick.
201-939-4513. Let's take one more call before we sign off for the day. It's been a fun show. Rock
and
roll.
We have to? Come on, another hour.
Let's go to J.D. North calling in from Carolina. Wants to talk about Vic Beasley. J.D., welcome.
Hey, Paul Nia. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi.
So I kind of want to piggyback off of something you guys were discussing earlier about getting the most out of a player and trying to utilize them in your system as best as possible. And you guys kind of touched on Vic Beasley a little bit a few minutes ago, but I've heard him be compared to Von Miller by a bunch of people. And I think if he's good enough to fill that role and play that role in the defense, insofar as you're playing outside linebacker on first and second down and then rushing off the edge on third down, I wanted to see what you guys thought about him in that role for the Giants defense and how valuable that would be if he can fill that. And I'll make your answer off the air. Thanks, guys.
I think he'd be a great pick for any 3-4 team. The Giants are a 4-3 team. So, no, I don't think he's a fit here. But I'm with you. A 3-4 team should be very, very, very happy to get him in the top 10. And there will be teams probably trying to make phone calls to move up into the top 10 to get him. Great for them. I think that's the beauty of this draft for the Giants, is that when you look at the value and need component, they don't have a big need for a quarterback, and some teams have two quarterbacks in the top 10 on their value board. The Giants don't have a need for a 3-4 tweener pass rusher, and some teams are going to want to have those and go into the top 10 to get them. The Giants don't have a real huge need for a top 10 wide receiver, and there are other teams that do. So there are three positions there that I think teams are going to be burning up the phone lines on to try to get into the top 10, and the Giants really don't have a burning need for any one of those three. Puts them in a good position to listen. Not necessarily to deal, but to listen. And that's my take on that.
Fantastic. It's been a fun show. I feel a wealth of knowledge that Paul Dottino has shared with all of us today. Hopefully you have as well. Are you back tomorrow? Who's on tomorrow?
I'm back Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Look at you.
Yeah, busy day. Busy week.
Wow, you're on all week, Monday through Thursday?
Without sleep, I might add. I got more tape to watch.
So who are you on with tomorrow? Is it John or is it Lance?
Tomorrow's Lance, Wednesday is you, and Thursday is solo, folks.
All right. Fantastic. I hope everybody has a fantastic day. Please continue to send your tweets at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll, of course, continue to monitor them. We can ask them. Of course, Paul can answer them for you and share those with you tomorrow. And we'll be back on board. So make sure
Good
you
stuff.
Stay tuned to Giants.com. Have a great day, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One hit, no punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.